All right, this is Centaur Views. My name is No Sense.
And this is Victoria.
This is a podcast where two Sagittarius people come together and give their opinionated views on cultural topics.
Disclaimer, you will be offended. Don't at me.
All right, here we go. And we're live.
All right, so this is your boy, No Sense.
This is your girl, Victoria the God.
And this is Welcome to Centaur Views.
Oh, we're going to do it simultaneously?
I don't know. Sometimes we work, sometimes we don't. I don't know.
Like, share, or subscribe.
On Apple.
Stitcher.
Spotify. Stitcher. And Anchor.
Anchor.
Give it up to Anchor.
Yes,
and also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Centaur Views. You can also hit us up with any questions or ideas at centaurviews@gmail.com. And so we're going to jump straight into the show. Let's go into the two cents, man. I know yours is a little bit serious. Mine ain't serious.
Nah.
Oh, you switch it up?
No.
Oh, you're just not taking it seriously?
I'm not at all. I'm a child. A stubborn, grudge-holding child. You want to go?
Yeah, because mine is not, I guess everybody kind of had their opinion so far, so it's not as relevant, I guess, as it was last week. But you seen the Mortal Kombat movie?
I did. I was a little intoxicated, so I can't tell you everything. I should probably watch it again.
But I liked it for what it was. It stayed true to the elements of the story. If you are a fan of the video games, it did introduce a character that nobody knew. But I think what people don't understand is you have to have a character that is consistent in these type of movies.
Wait, who didn't everybody know?
The main character.
Who did?
Yeah, he's not a character. He's like a creative character. I guess. He's not a real character. But he, you got to remember that in Mortal Kombat, people tend to die. So from the looks of the movie, they're going to be making some additional sequels. But you got to have a person that brings it all together. And to me, that will make the movies in the future work. It will make them mean something. So they'll be a better link as far as how the movies go. But what I'm hearing a lot of people say is that the first one was a lot better. And I think nostalgia is making us biased.
That shit was cheesy as hell.
Yes. The fight scenes are basically like dancing. They are horrible. Yeah. The only person that was trained was Liu Kang. And everybody's talking about how they didn't go into the tournament. But if you look at the first one, Sonya and Johnny Cage basically only fought one match. Johnny had an extra match with Goro because he challenged him. But Liu Kang had to fight four people through the tournament. But yet Johnny Cage and Sonya didn't. It's like it didn't equal a fair tournament at all. Sub-Zero and Scorpion didn't have any type of character development. They were just minions. And Sub-Zero died from water. It was stupid. And then Reptile was a cartoon character. Raiden was a white man who sounded like Gollum from the Lord of the Rings. It just was very, it was very cheesy, very campy, and it did not. The R rating helped because of the fact that Mortal Kombat is that gory and brutal.
It definitely was.
So it was. It left a lot. Like, I went back and watched it just because, like, everybody was saying how much better, and I'm like, I don't remember it being that bad. And I remember it being worse because we thought it was cool because it was based on a video game and we knew the characters, but it didn't. It didn't make any sense. Johnny Cage wasn't even an asshole. Sonya and Liu Kang were assholes. Like, Johnny Cage gave him a dollar mistakenly thinking that he was tipping him to bring his luggage on the ship. And Liu Kang picked his luggage up and threw it in the ocean. Like, he, you know, like, that's an asshole move.
Right.
So it was just, it's like, to me, it's like, we got to stop, like, comparing things to things from our childhood, because it's never, the memory of it is always going to be better than what it actually is. I went back and looked at Kenan and Kel, and wow, like, that was low budget as hell.
I'm really like, excited about this shit.
Yeah, like, oof. But I mean, not to knock it, it's still a pretty good show. I mean, they got their story, but it was just like, we were, things fit a certain time in our lives that it just, it holds a special part place, but it's not as good, man. Like, we gotta stop.
I wish I had known. Yeah, I wish I had known that it was gonna be that gory, because I was not prepared at all. I was like,
and see, they tricked people because they didn't put it in the trailer. So you didn't really know how bad it was gonna be, but I mean, I had heard that that's why they didn't, because it was so bad. But yeah, it I liked it, because I mean, it's like I said, it stayed true to the game in that.
The parts of the movie that I actually saw, because again, I was intoxicated and up, like I was watching it with people, so I really didn't see the first part. So that's why I'm like, who that with the character, and by the end of the movie, I was like really tipsy. Like I was out. So I don't really remember. I don't want to. I remember it was being very gory. So I don't want to go back to see it. I don't like that type of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it just was funny because everybody in the house was kept saying, finish him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it, like yeah, I said, it's the feeling. You know, and I can understand.
Yeah, I do remember. Like, I watched the first Mortal Kombat as an adult, and I was like, I was excited as a child to watch this nonsense. Like, I love playing Mortal Kombat. That's fighting games, the only thing that I play now with my kids. I tell them I don't want to play Fortnite, Minecraft, none of that bullshit. I don't even want to race. Give me a fighting game so I can just press all the buttons and it'd be trash. Like, that's it.
But well, I even remember that. Like a couple years ago, I had my brother, he had never watched the Mortal Kombat movie. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, you're gonna watch this? This is from my childhood, and blah, blah, blah. And I was ashamed by the credits.
Man, it was like, cheating.
Why did I think this was so good?
Why is this white man playing an Asian man? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it was so whitewashed. Like, it was way really whitewashed. Was.
Hi,
like I said, this one was truer, and yeah. I mean, it's never going to be as good as what expectations are. It's a video game. It's like a DC Marvel. It's you're always going to be let down a little bit.
I don't understand why people take themselves so serious. Like,
I don't know. Just like Coming to America, it was never going to be what the first one was. The first one had established it. So much. I know, I do. I like it for what it was, but it's like it established so much they couldn't really go a lot of different places and have it make sense. And I'm sure Eddie wasn't trying to win an Oscar for that. No, the movie was, it was what it was. So yeah, I think we just gotta remember that nostalgia ain't always, it don't always mean that the product was good. It's about a place that we were in our lives and it makes us remember it with such relevance.
I guess those people are starting to sound like our old elders. It's like, in my day, yada, 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 shut the fuck up. Like, watch the goddamn thing or don't.
Like, exactly. Like, enjoy it. Like,
okay. So that's your 2 cents.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were waiting to talk about that shit for a minute. my 2 cents is I blame you for my 2 cents.
No.
I'm blaming you. I'm not taking full responsibility of this shit. I am thoroughly regretful that I voted for Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. These niggas be like, I don't even know why. I was totally against this the entire time. The entire presidential what is it called? I don't know. When everybody was running, like, I was totally against both of their asses, especially Joe Biden. And I felt like I got coerced into voting for these people I'm blaming you because you were the biggest one in my ear. And I remember going up to the daggone voting booth and I said, if I don't vote for Joe Biden, I'm going to have to hear Trey out tomorrow or today. So let me vote for this old nigga. And I just...
How do you put that shit on me?
Yes, it's your fucking fault. I would have rather not voted like I did with Trump and Hillary. Maybe I would have been so like about how I was when Trump was in office. Because first of all, how Joe Biden, of course, none of this shit surprises me because I know this. These are white, like, oh, I know this. This is why I'm regretful. And I know that Joe was going to get into the office. He was going, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. His ass right into the motherfucking office. And those black people was going to go ahead and fall for that bullshit. Like, oh yeah, he's so much better. We brought the lesser of two evils bullshit. And he wanted to do shit for black people. And he had wrote, how this motherfucker, I'm aggravated. He called sign an executive order for our Asian sea stews and brothers, but there are adjacent bill for the anti-lynching bill has not been signed, nor has he signed an executive order to put that shit in place, where we repeatedly see how the police just be shooting motherfuckers and just acting reckless because that's what they see on fucking TV. So I don't expect, I've given up on white people. I'm nearly giving up on black people because we keep falling for the same shit. Like, why? Why do we do this? Why do we expect them? Oh, what all the motherfucking people that kept telling, like, oh yeah, we gotta hold the motherfuckers accountable. Why got, I guess holding people accountable ain't working because Joe still ain't signed that goddamn bill yet. He ain't did nothing specifically for black people yet. What happened to that?
We still gotta keep our foot on their necks. Nobody's keeping their foot on his neck.
All y'all motherfuckers be talking, so y'all, I knew you can't hold nobody accountable. The only person you can hold accountable is yourself. And that's any and everywhere. You can only hold yourself accountable. You cannot hold anybody else accountable. But all you in this shit too, Trey. All y'all motherfuckers talking about put your foot. How? Should have been on his motherfucking up his ass before he got in the presidency. He a president now. Only thing that we got left for Joe is astrology. And I'm not even gonna go into that shit. So and Kamala ass. America ain't racist. What the fuck is she talking about? Bitch, no.
Oh, God. I'm sorry.
Don't do that.
Your dumb ass. They wanted your ass to be a president. The only reason why your ass is a fucking vice president right now is because your ass is half Indian and we need India right now. Like, if anything, like, I don't understand.
Like, she faced so much racism when she was announced as the
runner.
Like,
how can you say that? Joe motherfucking debate. She's talking about how she was a damn one of those kids that had to do the buses system. Like, you did all of that shit for what? What was the purpose of you even bringing that damn story up to put his ass on the spotlight and then go get, when you get the motherfucking job, try to renege? Y'all are like, I can't. I'm aggravated.
It's an oxymoron. You can't say that America is not racist and then say we need to deal with the racist issues. Huh?
I don't. I just know that next time when an election comes, if Trump come to he come to China and because they ain't even did what they fucking supposed to do with Trump ass. So if Trump come back around 2024, he go up against Andrew Yang. Then I'm going to vote for Yang.
Oh, okay. I'm about to say, I know you ain't voting.
No, I'm going to vote for Andrew Yang or anybody that's talking about UBI. If nobody's talking about UBI and Trump is my only motherfucking option, you can best believe Trump got my goddamn vote. Fuck all y'all. I ain't why y'all
This is my thing.
Aggravating.
If you wouldn't have voted, then I wouldn't say your your opinion is valid.
I don't care anymore.
I'm just saying, like, that's the thing. Like, you can't be, you can be mad at the decision, but if you wasn't part of the decision, you can't be mad at it.
I could have been mad. Everybody got motherfucking opinions about everything that they got shit to do with them anyway. Why I can't have a damn opinion? Okay? This is a society that we live in. People mind the other fucking, everybody else got their business. Thoroughly mind my own business. And a lot of the stuff, when especially when we come to the show and we talk about like our two cents, or I don't be tapped into what everybody else doing. I just don't no more, because it's too much. I got my own fucking problems. But what I am gonna be tapped in 2024 is the goddamn presidential election. I'm not ever again in my adult life gonna be voting for somebody that I knew this shit was gonna be happening. Like, I knew this shit. And I'm sitting there like, look at this shit. I won't do this shit no more. And I, excuse me for all my passion behind this, but I'm aggravated. I'm fucking aggravated by this bullshit. Like, I hate people playing in my face. Like, don't play in my face like that. At the very least, Joe, sign the goddamn lynching bill. Like, you ain't gotta do shit up for black people. At the very motherfucking least, sign the goddamn bill. Now, that's my two cents. I'm gonna get off my fucking high horse and let's start this damn show. And I'm tired.
Okay. All right, so let's move from one lighthearted subject to the next. The show that you done got me.
Bro, I digress.
All right, so today's show, we're going to talk about victim impact statements. And the reason that I want to take a look at that is because this is a fairly new part of the judicial system. And so basically what a victim impact statement is, it's a written oral statement made as part of the judicial legal process, which allows crime victims the opportunity to speak during the sentencing of the convicted person or subsequent parole hearings. So what that means is that if you don't really know what it is, and you live in South Carolina, with Dylann Roof, a lot of victim impact statements were made from the victims and their family members. And the thing that a lot of people were upset about is, as they were saying this, Dylann was behind a glass looking at them with no emotion on. They were saying that they were praying for him.
Oh my God.
All this type of stuff. And he was showing no reaction. But that's the thing. A lot of people was like, how is that good for someone's mental health to say all of this stuff, to have all this passion, and you getting no response or remorse from this person? So I just wanted to talk about it because it is a part of, and it's not a standard part. You don't have to do a victim impact statement. It is up to the victim if they want to do that.
I have a question. So mm-hmm. 3% is the actual person, the victim, is not good for their mental health to stand before somebody that hurt them or their family member and tell them how they made them feel or how their actions impacted them? Is that what?
No, that's what some of the complaints, huh?
Go ahead, finish your thought. That's what the complaints were
during that trial, because of the fact that he was so unresponsive and showing no remorse. They were thinking that it was no use because you weren't doing anything but upsetting yourself.
I don't think I agree with that, but go ahead.
I'm just saying that was some of the things that were being said. I'm not saying that I agree with it, Yeah. I did see it, and it was hard to see people, you know, spilling their hearts and, you know, tears and stuff, and this monster is just like, I don't give a fuck.
He did, and that's, I guess,
but
I,
that wasn't for me, it was for them, so I can't speak on that.
Yeah, it's not, maybe it's not impactful, I don't say impactful, I don't think.
But like I said, since it's a fairly new thing in the, excuse me, in the judicial system, I want to just talk about it in the pros and cons of, you know, victim impact statements. So, okay. All right. So what do you think, like, from what we talked about, like, is a good pro?
When I hear pro and con, I always have to go in my head, pro.
Good, the positive.
Yeah, like, that's the starter. ignore me. I'm sorry, y'all. That's why I'm chatty. I know, just fucked up my glasses by sticking my greasy ass fingers on it. A pro to the victim statement, I think it will be healing for the person, the victim, to get it out, because you get a chance to actually share how somebody's actions, like I said, somebody's actions impacted you in your life. It's not, anytime you're doing healing, it's not for the other person, it's for you. So if somebody felt the need to express themselves in that manner, I think that would be good for a healing process, that you got it out and you got to look that person in their face, not for like to connect with that person, because I used to do that. They try to like see people for who they are and connect with them on the human level. Fuck that. People don't give a fuck about what they do to you. So I can see it being a pro, because it's for you. It's your healing to express how you feel and how somebody's actions actually impact you.
Yeah, and I feel like basically kind of the same way, like as far as the victim having a voice. Because a lot of times when they're, especially when the main victim is somebody who's deceased, you don't have like the family, the secondary victims, people who are suffering because of what happened. They, other than that, they're not going to have a voice. They're not going to be in the courtroom because they may not have been part of the crime. It just simply affects them. So still being victimized by that is giving them a voice to be heard, not only by the jury, the judge, the criminal, but also, you know, the media that the story is going to be about. Because, you know, it's every person is not going to be George Floyd, where, you know, he has a daughter and all this other stuff. So it does give the victim, you know, some type of voice in the whole process. So I do agree with that.
Yeah, I think, like, damn, I lost it. I think that like you said, it gives the actual victim a voice to, even if they're not alive, to be actually like live on. I also think that like it's when people do things, sometimes they don't think about the consequences, especially if somebody takes somebody's life. Like, although I think that there's a grander story, like a destiny, I believe so, that's at play, and sometimes we have martyrs we have martyrs to impact other people's lives, to set, like, and somebody might not agree with me, but I'm okay with that. I'm not even going to do that. Martin Luther King and Malcolm X's murders, although like Martin was, and both of them, well, Malcolm was older than him, but Martin was so young, their murders, the impact of their murders, it changed the trajectory of our world. I can't say for the good or bad, I'm just saying that sometimes I think that the higher plan is to have somebody be a martyr so it can impact or a change for either a system or people's lives. With that being said, like, so I can see, I don't want to say that because I don't want any pushback. That's just my own personal opinion.
I ain't gonna give you no pushback. I mean, can't nobody else give you, it'll be out by the time.
True that. And it's certain things I'm trying to practice not saying because it's not necessary. So it's not necessary to make my point. But I just think that it is, it can be beneficial. I'm just gonna leave it at that.
And going off of that, I feel like another pro is, like you said, it can change the trajectory. If somebody hears how, because a lot of people who commit crimes, it's, unless it's a crime where, you know, it's like very motivated and, you know, it's somebody that's really close to you, you commit crimes on people that are foolish and you don't know the effect it has. You're just, I see this person here, they're vulnerable in this state and I'm gonna take advantage. If you know how it affects everything around them, it can stop you from doing that. You know, when you get, if you don't go to jail, when you get, if you're on parole or you get out, and you know, it can deter you from going back because you see how it can affect, you know, that domino effect of what happened to one person. Mm-hmm. Can affect the, you know, a family, a community. Right. So I think that is, you know, it will affect whoever, you know, like I said, Dylan Roof kind of got me because he didn't show that. But that not to say that there's people who do wrong that have a heart. It's just they were in a fucked up situation.
Right. Well, the pro you can think of for a victim statement other than it being healing for that person and helping the person that committed the crime, I guess be contextual. Is that a word? Victoria? I don't know. Context.
Put that in is context. A good word.
Is it? I know context is. I was just like.
Contextual is a word too, but I didn't know if you were using it right. But
I don't think so either, but yeah. Their consequences or the impact of what they did in context. Like, what else do you think?
I feel like it has, you can say things that probably weren't taken into consideration in the trial. It could be something, a statement that maybe it was overlooked or something that, you know, okay, well, we thought this in there and something, you know, this is actually true based on how, you know, such and such was here at this time. And you'll be, well, as we were here, it's certain things that can come out because of the fact, like I said, the victims aren't always going to be the ones that's on the stand. So it can help in that.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So when Botham Jean's parents or brother got up on it and was like, he forgave that white lady for shooting his brother, is that a victim statement? Victim statement? Man, yes. Fuck out of here. Black people, why are we so fucking forgive? I don't, it's, God forbid, ancestors forbid my children or somebody I love be harmed in that such a way. Boy, I don't want to say shit. I'm like the whole motherfucking neighborhood of behind my, like, I don't know. I don't want to ever be in that position. God, please, ancestors, please hear me. Don't ever let me be in a situation like that. Because I might happily go to jail. No, we're not doing that. And I ain't going to jail for nobody.
So, off of that.
I agree.
That is one of the cons. So, let's get into the cons. Is that people often make victim impact statements based off of emotion. And so they are, because a victim impact statement is not supposed to influence the judge's decision.
What?
We're gonna go back to that sentence later, but it's not supposed to influence the judge's decision. So when people write victim impact statements, they can be disappointed because they were wanting a harsher sentence. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's how you feel. It's very emotional. So your whole reasoning for doing the impact statement can be to get a harsher sentence, to get a death penalty, you know. So it's it can cause somebody to really be set themselves up for that. And
while I can see that being stressful for the person, the actual people, the victim or the victim's family, how stressful that can be, because if they get like if say for instance when Derek Chauvin, we need to start making these goddamn police and these fucking white people, even black people, fuck that. Whoever does the crime, we need to make sure that they damn names living on way more than the victims, because those people, they should not have a decent life. George Zimmerman, his name, like when we hear his name, everybody knows who he is, but they should not, I don't think that they should live peacefully in this world and people not know and remember who the fuck they are. They should be infamous, and every chance somebody gets, somebody should throw a can of tomatoes or something at their head. I don't know. like, they shouldn't live in peace. So I can't think of nobody but George Zimmerman as, like, I'm trying to think of the late white lady name that killed Boston Jean, but I can't. But I remember his name. This is, I don't know.
But yeah, so you can't do anything that's false. So like you can say George Zimmerman killed Trayvon Martin. That is true. If he just got away with it. You can't make threats against the offender or the family. Of course, you pretty much gonna be held in contempt. You can't say anything that is abusive, irrelevant. So
I don't think I don't think I like this shit no more.
You can't say anything that is confidential, related to the victim, the offender, or anybody else. And you can't refer to other offenses that you think the offender committed. So if they're sentencing, if they have been sentenced or convicted, you can say, but anything alleged, you cannot say anything about that. And you can't make any comments about the judge, the prosecution, the defense, the jury, or the witnesses. That's not even the whole list.
Sit my ass down and shut the fuck up.
But the big con that I think is, like I said, going back, the impact statement is not supposed to influence the sentencing. However, if there is a case in Louisville, Kentucky, where the victim statement said that Gregory Wallace, he was standing before his sentencing, and he had robbed a family with the 3-year-old daughter at gunpoint in March 2013 for money and marijuana. And his defense attorney said he'd be a remarkable candidate for probation, someone that would be successful. But he wasn't even going to go to jail.
He kill anybody?
Robbed him at gunpoint. The Commonwealth objects to the probation. That's what the judge. Three-year-old daughter was a. Okay, so the Commonwealth objected to the probation. And when you get to paragraph 6, the judge says, I assume the victims are white. And the reason being is because the parents said that their 3-year-old daughter was affected by the crime. She's in constant fear of black men, when out running errands, when you come across a black male, she holds me tight and begs me to leave. The statement also mentions how the 3-year-old became scared of African-American friends at school and became withdrawn. And they said, you don't have to answer for it, but I want it to be a part of the record. I'm offended by that. And basically what they were trying to say is that one individual who created that crime basically created a fear of all Black people to that three-year-old. But the response was, if the perpetrator were white, would they be in fear of all white men? You think that would be a yes or no?
Or C, nobody gives a fuck.
But
I'm
they
sorry. The trauma.
They push for a full 20-year sentence
that he would face. This country sometimes.
Fortunately, he had a lot of character witnesses, so he didn't. But this is what I mean by it's not supposed to affect that decision.
It shouldn't. It shouldn't.
But as your two cents was upsetting, this is still a racist country. So when it comes to this type of issue, you're bringing value upon people's lives, saying that a little white girl, because this whatever, you're making this Black man suffer at the harshest sentence just because it's a little white girl. And that like I said, fortunately it worked out to where he got the 5 years probation. But I'm telling you, this isn't the only, you know.
That's not the only case. I can understand that. White people tears taste great with some honey and lemon. nobody cares.
That is my biggest con. Simply because it can affect.
It can negatively affect just the system that our judicial system is the system, one of the biggest systems where we have the biggest complaint about the racist system. Exactly. You want to look at racism, look at our judicial system, how Black men and Black women get higher sentencing for same crimes that their white counterparts commit, get way harsher sentencing. So yeah. I agree with you.
That's what's gonna play. I mean, just like when somebody goes missing, if it's a pretty white girl, everybody looking for her. It's like America is, you know, their mental makeup is that, to feel sorry for white people and not for Black people. And like I said, to me, that is the biggest con in it. So that brings me to this. Should we change that victim impact statement?
Is that a practice in all 50 states? Do you know?
I think it's 40, I want to say like 40, 43 states now that we have. It's not a federal thing, so it's done on a case-to-case. It's on a state-to-state, but I know that it's at least, it's in the top, in the close to the 50. The first statement was presented in 1976 in Fresno, California, and then it was passed as law in 1982. And by 97, 44 of the American states allowed the presentation of victim impact statements during its official process. Although until 91, these statements were held as inadmissible in cases where the death penalty was sought. So after 91, then, you know, you were able to do that as well with the death penalty. So we only got 6 states left that don't allow it.
I think it's something that needs to be changed. I think the whole fucking system, the judicial system, needs to be overthrown, and we need to refigure the whole system, because it's stupid. It's fucking stupid. It's just stupid. So I think that's very unfair. I don't know, because I'm playing devil's advocate, because if it was me and my loved one, I would definitely like I said, God forbid, ancestors did something like that happening. But if I, let's say hypothetically, I'm in that type of situation, I would definitely want to be heard. At another end, I don't, because I'm going to set shit on fire. But I don't. I can see how it's an issue racially if somebody, especially it's the slippery slope when we already, Black people are already being sentenced harsher than the white counterparts, like, and being imprisoned more. I guess, I don't know, niggas, like, read up on your state's laws before you start committing crimes. And I don't know, like, what to tell you. I just heard that about a relationship. Like, maybe you should get up and move. And maybe niggas, like, before you start committing crimes, intentionally committing crimes, check out the laws in your state, because if not, you're gonna be fucked over. And I don't know.
I feel like I feel like people should get their voice heard, but maybe after the sentencing, to where it there's no way that it could affect the sentencing.
I already gonna sit here and lie. Like in the George Floyd case, Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman case. I wish that if the victim statements was available then, they should have did that shit then. I hate it in this country. If we're gonna do what for one, let's do it for all. Like if that's gonna be the case, and we as Black people are more inclined to get harsher statement, like, or their sentencing is maximized because of a victim statement, then everybody should do that shit. Like, don't just do it just for one people. But that's too much to ask in America. Equality, equity. Oh, what are those? Like, not even equality, equity. What's that? That's too much. That's my two cents.
I just, if we can find a way to where it can be said without affecting that across the board, then I feel like that'll be something, because everybody needs to be heard, especially the victim. You're the one that's been harmed. You're the one that's been done wrong. So it's very important for you to be able to have a voice. I just feel like sometimes the intent and the effect of it, due to the fact that this is not a equal opportunity country, it can be disparaging to people of a certain color. It ain't got nothing to do with that. It's, if you're different in this world, you're not an older white man, you have a disadvantage.
True.
So unless you can tell me that it's going to affect, I just don't think it should be something that should be considered as part of the sentencing. I'll put it that.
I agree.
Any last words on the subject?
Nah. I've been rambling enough.
Whole city going crazy. Top five, no debating. Top five.
All right, so we're going to move on to the top five. It's been a heavy episode. So we're going to lighten up a little bit and talk about the top five crimes against fashion.
Make sure you stay in fashion, because let me tell y'all, this is a, tell me we gonna do the top five, and I'm thinking this nigga talking about fascist, like fascism, like the government and shit. So I'm like, oh wow, I don't know nothing about these crimes. I'm about to get this nigga about to learn me something today, and this motherfucker talk about top crime. He started naming off the dad go top five. I don't know, what the fuck are you talking about, bro? But if you were just as clueless as I was, when it's fashion, enunciate, Trey. Fashion. Like, I don't know.
You were the only one that could think of fascist.
I mean, it was in line with what we were talking about.
What about fashion?
I don't know, like I said, you was gonna learn me something tonight. Like, I don't know. Oh my god, even this is a random.
Said that we wasn't gonna be random.
We always on one extreme to just swooping from one extreme to the next. How the hell start? We talking about the show is about victim statements, and then like, oh, this is very serious because this is this can be affecting Black people, and then now we're talking about top five crimes of fashion.
Because you can't just talk about crime on a Black show and it gets depressing.
I get it. Okay. So run the top five. Go ahead. All
right. These ain't even in order. But the skinny jeans on dudes.
Oh my God. I'm sick of it. Especially the big dudes, like your legs look like they about to, your circulation going off. And, Trey, you remember that dude that had that?
Nobody was wearing skinny jeans in women's sizes because they didn't make them for men.
You remember that dude we was performing with that? You ain't about to beat my ass. But he had a whole lot of ass. Like you could tell he got that shit from his mama. Like he had more ass than I did. Well, I do. And he had them damn skinny jeans on. And I'm like, bruh, let him go. Why is that a fashion? Maybe tapered jeans. But them skinny jeans, let them go. We ain't moved past that. Y'all men ain't got no other fashion yet. Like,
but you can't be a fat dude in skinny jeans. That's an oxymoron. So
you shouldn't be a nigga in skinny jeans unless you're skinny. Like, that's the whole purpose of skinny jeans. It's for skinny niggas. Like, I don't know,
because big women wear skinny jeans too.
I wear leggings, jeggings, not skinny jeans. I can't fit all of this in no damn skinny jeans. Like, I don't even like jeans, period, unless they're from American Eagle. And they're jegging. They're stretchy. So, I don't... Yeah, can we... can we let that go now? It's 2021. Y'all don't got nothing fashion yet.
Speaking of jeggings and leggings, the TikTok leggings.
Oh. I didn't know what the fuck you were talking about when you said that. And then I Googled it and I saw and I was like, yeah. Now, they look good on some people.
Yes, but not if you have any type of cellulite, they ain't for you, Holmes. They is
hold
not
on
for
now.
You.
I got some cellulite, and I think
they not for you. Them. No, no.
They got a little ruffle on the butt part. It may probably make my butt look real big. I'm gonna go.
They hug at all the wrong areas. I will tell you.
I got
that.
Cellulite. I think the most thing is you don't got no butt, man.
Leggings, period, without a butt.
All right, but okay
drawn on eyebrows.
Okay, so this is my qualm with drawn on eyebrows. I am so tired, ladies, that all your eyebrows look alike. Like, I just don't understand. If you see the evolution of eyebrows in the past 20 years, you see that they go through a lot. Like, they get skinny, they get... Like, we've been drawing eyebrows on forever. I get that. But why they all gotta look alike? Like, I don't understand. Like, everybody... I don't understand the whole need to look like everybody else. And then I don't also understand... People get them shits tattooed on and they get them real big and thick. Like, now, like, at one point they were really skinny. Maybe a few years ago they were very perfect and boxy. Now they're getting thicker, and I noticed that. And I just
And everybody gonna start doing it skinny again, and then you're gonna be looking like Drake, and that ain't in God's plan.
Can we free ourselves, ladies? We need to stop trying to look alike. The reason, like, there is, like, in the sacred temple, I stress the fact that you are one of a motherfucking kind. You are authentically you. There is all these billions of species on this planet, and there is only one you. Revel in that, ladies. Like, I get in. It's fine to taper your eyebrows to make them look neat and shit, but why they gotta look alike? I don't get it. I'm not that type of woman, and I love you. I'm saying this out of love. Same with the leggings and the butt. I'm saying this out of love. Make it look flattering. I don't know.
And if you like going to work out or anything where it's gonna cause you to sweat and you wiping, just make sure that makeup ain't runny. Cause then you wipe it off and now you're going around looking like the Rock.
I don't understand why the fuck people be wearing, women be wearing makeup when they fucking work out. Like, who the fuck are you trying to impress at the fucking gym? You at the gym, you already won. Cause my ass is sitting at home. Like, you know, doing
you gotta go on Instagram and Snapchat when you're on the gym.
I don't care about that part.
You know what I'm saying?
They might be motivating me. I might like, go on, girl, do your thing. What I don't understand, a full face makeup, like lashes, foundation, blush, I don't conceal it. Like, what's with the whole full face of makeup in the gym? And what's up with all your eyebrows looking like? And then those straight eyebrows across your face, like, you have no expression. Like, I just, we gotta do better. We gotta do better as a people, as a woman, as a woman, people, we gotta do better.
Okay, hoodies with shorts.
See, you coming from my neck on this shit right here. Okay, I'm from Candace, South Carolina. that's what we do. Well, that's what the white people do over here. Like, I have on a long sleeve shirt and shorts right now.
I'm just saying, life is about balance, and you got it.
I might be cold, but not cold, that your cold. Top.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it.
I might be cold, but not that cold. I don't want a tan. And
like, you pull your sleeves down when you get cold, but
I don't know. I'm chilly, but not that chilly. Like, leave me be. Leave me be.
And then the ultimate white person, hoodie, shorts, and some sandals, some flip flops.
Yep, goddamn right. I wore my fucking my Crocs all year round. Like, since I've been socks with them at all. That's me. Maybe our bottoms are not cold. It makes no sense. I don't give a fuck.
Oh, man. All right, and this is the number one. It ain't number, but this is number one for me. Bonnets.
Hold up. No.
Mm-mm.
What's wrong with bonnets?
Bonnet is for bed. After sex. No. It's not for outside. It's not for the grocery store.
No. Yes, it is. It's a protection from my fucking hair.
It's going to protect you from a dick because I ain't...
So, I'm gonna get some more. They ain't stop making dicks when they made you.
That shit is not cute, yo.
So what? Nobody's trying to be cute in their bonnet. Like, they're trying to protect their goddamn mirror.
But I'm saying, you do your bonnet when you lay your head on that pillow. Don't just be walking around the house with a bonnet.
It's convenient. It's convenient. It is convenient.
For what?
It is convenient because you just put the shit on. If you got to put on a scarf, you got to wrap it, and that shit might be too tight. Then you got to, like, wrapping a scarf is hard. Not everybody can do it. Like,
but if it's that simple, can't you do it before you lay your head down to sleep, then?
Yeah, but what if I want to keep it on all day or go to the store? Because my hair, like, my hair is down to my butt now. And I hate going out in public and having my mask on and not cover my hair. One, I don't like people still somebody just touched my goddamn hair without asking me just the other day, and that shit pissed me the fuck off. Like, who the fuck are you to think you can touch my goddamn hair? Number one, if I had my bonnet on, they couldn't have touched my hair, Trey. I didn't go touch my hair. You got all the answers, Trey? No. So, yeah, it's the protection. And most bonnets are silk in the inside. And, like, if you do a scarf, unless you have, like, a silk scarf, you can't protect your hair. Maybe your hair is dry and you don't want the air to be humid and fuck up and frizz your damn hair.
There's a time and a place for a bonnet.
Whatever. And some of the bonnets be cute, too.
I ain't never seen a cute ass bonnet.
I've seen them. They have little African prints on them. They like some of them come with a little scarf thing to put around the band, so it doesn't look like a bonnet. And you can like kind of turn it.
It's still a bonnet.
You kind of turn it into a wrap. Those are cute too. You're not gonna come for me.
For a lot of people with that. I know a lot of girls, women is just.
Yeah, I've seen dudes wear their bonnets out. So seen a dude wear their bonnet out. They had locks.
I have no comment.
Anyways, if you ever see me, unless it's one of my dates that I'm actually dressed up, and those are very far in between, I look the best. I'm a fashion. I'm a criminal.
A crime against fashion.
I don't match. I don't give a fuck. I'm trying to be comfortable. And
Sagittarius, we are not fashionable. We are not. Yeah.
We're not. We're comfortable. That's what the fuck we are. And I'm comfortable with my long sleeve shirt on and my shorts and my Crocs.
Trying to put Crocs on them.
You never seen me in a bonnet?
Never seen you in a bonnet.
I got on a scarf right now.
But I've never seen you. You've never presented yourself.
My body doesn't stay. I need a bigger bonnet because my hair is too long for this shit. Like, but anyways, if I have a matter of fact, I'm gonna go buy me a larger bonnet, and I'm gonna come see you, and I'm gonna have my motherfucking bonnet on. Shit.
I'm about to make a mat right now. They say no bonnets allowed.
Mind your goddamn business. It's not hurting. And the Crocs too. Close your fucking eyes. Look away, bitch. Like Crocs too. They are comfortable, and I would never. Like I didn't know when. Nobody told me when you get older, you got to make sure you wear the proper damn shoes. Like they did not. In the adult handbook, they did not say that your feet gonna start hurting if you wear sneakers all the time. Used to like wearing sneakers all the time. Or my little thin ass flip flops. I can't wear them shits no more. So I need something with ergonomics or something.
Ergonomic.
There you go. Can you have that in your feet? Or is that for your back? I don't know. orthotics. That's what I'm trying to say. I think. But I need some orthotics in my shoes now. I feel like an elder. Nobody told me. Actually, I lied. My grandma always used to say that if we keep wearing sneakers, our feet gonna be hurt. And I didn't listen to her. And she was right. My feet do be hurting. And I need something with comfort. So Crocs are it.
A lot of times we buy sneakers for the looks and not for the
comfort.
Yeah.
Not at all.
That's the problem. A lot of sneakers that look good are flat.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite sneakers, of course, is the Jordan 1s, and they not the most comfortable as far as if you want to move.
Like them, what's his damn shoes? Them Chucks. Them shit fly. I don't wear them damn Chucks and no shoes. No socks on. Man, your foot. You talk about you try to walk somewhere in them damn Chucks. Your feet.
Imagine before Jordan was big, that's what they was doing. Playing exactly. In Chuck Taylor.
Fucking, they lie to us. That damn marketing shit works because I really thought Chucks was it, and I would never put a damn Chuck on ever in my life. Anytime I see a cute shoe, I always ask, is it comfortable? That's the first thing. Oh, this is cute. Are they comfortable?
Them gang members doing all them dancing in their shoes and going,
yeah, ain't no fucking way.
You don't need a cane when they get old.
Exactly. Foot all fucked up in them damn shoes. Oh my god, we could do this all night. Like,
Crip gonna be a Crip. Let me stop.
All
right, so we're going to jump into the spotlight since we're doing a show on, I guess, crime. This is as close as I guess we're going to be to a true crime podcast.
Oh, God. Now we're talking about fucking bonnets and shit.
But the spotlight is going to be on one of the most well-known criminals, which neither one of us, well, you didn't know until before the show, and I didn't know until I was looking up, studying for the show, that he was a Sagittarius, but Pablo Emilio Escobar Gaviria was born December 1st, 1949, and he died December 2nd, 1993. So, wow. So he was a Colombian drug lord and narco terrorist who was the founder and sole leader of the Medellin cartel, dubbed the King of Cocaine, as far as the wealthiest criminal in history. Having amassed an estimated net worth of $30 billion by the time of his death, equivalent to $64 billion as of today.
Look at that Jupiter influence. I'm sorry.
His drug cartel monopolized the cocaine trade into the United States in the 80s and the early 90s. Wow. Like, even when we do bad, we do it big.
Hey, I'm about to be like Pablo Escobar up in this motherfucker because this working shit ain't working. I love it.
It's crazy, man. He actually was in school. Attended a university.
He was a Sagittarius.
And then he left without graduating and then started criminal activity.
He started
selling illegal cigarettes and fake lottery tickets and Grand Theft Auto.
Look at that. He went big. I like that type of shit. That's some good stuff. I did not know he was a Sagittarius. Didn't know that he was worth that amount of money. I am proud to be a Sagittarius. We got Jay-Z, Pablo Escobar, Chadwick Boseman. Like, look at all these guys.
But this is the thing. His legacy remains controversial while many denounce the heinous nature of his crimes, which he did some shit. He was seen as a Robin Hood-like figure for many in Colombia as he provided many amenities to the poor.
Sounds like a
his
Sagittarius.
His killing was mourned and his funeral attended by over 25,000 people.
Exactly. See, even though we hate it and we be doing some fucked up shit, we still love because our intent is pure. He was trying to help the motherfuckers out. Y'all can't take that shit from him. That's what y'all got to learn. If y'all get hurt by Sagittarius, it's not because we fucked up people. I gotta laugh on that one. It's not because we fucked up people. It just is. Like, I don't know. That's interesting. That's very interesting. Oh my gosh. That was funny. Anything else about Pablo?
Now they do have something called Pablo Escobar Beyond Narcos, but that's a book. Wow, he has a lot of books. King of Cocaine, Killing Pablo, Pablo Escobar, My Father, which of course is my son. American Made. That's capitalism. That's everything all in one.
Okay. That was interesting to find out. I learned a lot about Pablo and the victim statements. So that was a good show.
We went from many extremes.
That's how we do is Sagittarius. We go from one extreme. There's no gray area a lot of the times. I'm practicing trying to live in my gray area, y'all. Y'all heard me say I'm not gonna say that because that's not necessary. That's my practice. That's the gray area that I'm practicing in. You guys for listening, I know you're probably like, why am I still talking? I'm Every other Wednesday. We're going to celebrate our small wins. Remember to follow us, like, share, subscribe. We're on Facebook, Instagram. Yeah. Any last words?
You know? Nah, man. Just be safe out there, man. It's racism and cocaine and people with bonnets out there.
Yeah. Y'all, and COVID. And COVID.
Oh, I'm getting my other vaccine this Friday. So, yeah. Wait for me. I'll get that side effects.
If next week, if next time y'all hear us, there's no spray, it's because he got it. He became a zombie, you guys. as long as he doesn't touch me, I'll probably become a zombie also, because who's going to be running for the rest of their life? Not me. I don't got a time for that. So, yeah, have a good night. Yeah, evening. Whenever you listen to this, peace.
Peace.
Believe in yourselves. Dream. Try. Do good.
Don't you mean do well?
No, I mean do good. Do good.